Absolutely. Joshua chapter 1. And should be a familiar passage of scripture for you. And won't be any earth-shattering news in this one, hopefully. If you've been a Bible believer in any time at all, you've probably read the book of Joshua and been able to enjoy some of the things that God gives you out of that book. If you would stand with me, please, we'll read a few verses here. Tell you what, we'll just read verses, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your word. And God, I just pray that you would use it to strengthen your people this morning. And God, give us what we need. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The theme of the entire book of, the theme of the book of Joshua is warfare. And it's we're in a war today, folks. And if you didn't know that we're in a war, you've been somewhere with your head stuck in the sand, and you've not lived in the same America that I've lived in for the last few years, for sure. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We think that our foes are out there beyond us, standing at the in the lines, protesting, running up and down the streets of Washington, running up and down the streets of the different cities that we're in. But really, the ones that we fight this morning are those that are spiritual wickedness in high places. They're the evil spirits that are out there. They're the things, the devices of the devil that he is using, the instruments that are in this world today to overcome the things that are of God in this world. We're in a war for our faith. We're in a war for our families. We're in a war for our freedoms this morning. Moses, at this point in the scripture here, Moses has passed off the scene. Moses represents a type of the law in the Old Testament. And Joshua is a type of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And he's chosen to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. He's chosen to be that one that's the law is going to pass away, and Joshua, the type of Jesus Christ, is going to come on the scene. The doctrinal application for the scripture this morning is that law cannot get us into the promised land. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe this morning as far as the good works that you've done, the things that you can do to get you to heaven. Only Jesus can get you to heaven this morning. And the one that was going to get the children of Israel to the promised land was Joshua. Moses had already been told that he wasn't going to take the children of Israel into the promised land. But God had laid out the plan for Joshua to take the children of Israel to the promised land. The law was our schoolmaster, and it was our teacher. We learn from the law. We learn from the things that were there, and they were to learn. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster, is what the Bible says. The Bible says that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us under Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You're justified by faith this morning. The Bible says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's a gift of God. "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we might walk in them. God, we're saved by grace this morning, and that law is passed away. And as Joshua is coming on the scene this morning, he's going to lead the children of Israel to the promised land. So as Joshua being a type of Jesus Christ this morning, I will ask you the question, is he the Joshua of your life this morning? Is Jesus Christ the Joshua of your life? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning? Is he leading you in that direction? He commanded them. Verse 9, we read it. He said, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage." Strong. Paul told the church to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Your strength comes from the Lord this morning. And your strength comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Strength comes by preparation, will, determination, grit, endurance to do the things that God would have you to do. You know, a private in the military, as he goes in to build their strength, what do? They strip them down, don't they? They take them to a point, a breaking point. They do all the exercises. They do the endurance test and the strengths to take them from a private to the next level that they go through. They go through a basic training. An athlete, what do? They make preparations in the off season for the regular season that they're going to be in. A patient recovering from a surgery, what do? They put them in a rehab to build their strength back up. You and I this morning, we gather our strength from the Lord Jesus Christ, from his church, from his Bible, from our prayer, from the things that are of the Lord. That's how we gain strength. The Bible said, Paul said, "I can do all things through who? Christ, which strengtheneth me." God is your strength this morning. It's not just Philippians 4:13 that we put under our eyebrows or that we wear it on a t-shirt or something. God is my strength this morning, and God, I get my strength from his word and from the things that he has told me this morning. Strength comes by reading the word of God. Strength comes by prayer. Strength comes by going to church, by fellowship, by all the things that God has given us. Strength comes by giving rather than receiving. Strength comes by meditation. Strength comes by the Lord Jesus Christ. And strength for the Christian today is found in the Lord. The Lord, the world today has a misconception of what being strong is. You know, we see a picture, and the things that we see on TV and some big buff guy or whatever it is on some of these things, and we think that that's being strong in the Lord. It's not our physical nature that makes us strong this morning. It's not our social stature that makes us strong this morning. We think that people, because of their social standing, that they've got some strength. It's not our intellectual capacity this morning that makes us any stronger than anybody else. What the natural man doesn't understand, that there's no power but that of God. The powers that are ordained are of God this morning. We have no power but of God. These people couldn't do what they do. They couldn't be in the capacity that they are in had it not been for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God was going to give Joshua the power that he needed and the strength that he needed to take these people to the promised land. And you're not going to get to the promised land this morning, to heaven, by no other means but the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not have the power in your flesh to take yourself to heaven. God, Jesus Christ, is the only one that will take you to heaven this morning. God will give you the strength that you need. Now, God had made a promise to Israel, and he was going to fulfill the commitment of the promised land through Joshua. But they were going to have to cross over Jordan to take that promised land. Now, Moses had taken them across the Red Sea. He had parted the Red Sea. But Jordan was a little bit different. Jordan, they had to heap the water up in order for the people to go in the direction that they had to go. He had to take it. It was a river running into a river down into the main stem there of the ultimate body of water that it was going to discharge into. He had to heat that water up in a different fashion than he did before. It was a different crossing than the Red Sea. Was it still a miracle? Of course it was a miracle. But whether it's the Jordan of salvation or some other Jordan, we're facing a Jordan in our life this morning. And I'm not talking about Michael Jordan either. I'm talking about the Jordan. There's things in our life that we're facing that we got to cross this morning. We got to make a determination, and we've got to have the strength to cross that Jordan in our life this morning. But you're going to have to do it in the strength of the Lord this morning. You can't do it in your own strength. And God says, the Bible says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is my strength and my power. He maketh my way perfect. God is your strength this morning. I'm trying to tell you this morning, he told Joshua, be strong. Be strong in the Lord this morning. Don't back down this morning from what God has given you. He's given you strength in his book. He gives you the strength that you need to live this Christian life. He gives you the strength to cross those Jordans that are there, those difficulties that you face. Be strong in God this morning in his word and what he's given us. He also tells you to have courage. Webster's 1828 defines it as bravery, that quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness or without fear or depression of spirits, valor, boldness, resolution, a constituent part of fortitude. But fortitude implies patience to bear continued suffering. Courage that grows from constitution often forsakes a man when he has occasion for it. You're going to have to forsake some things in life. You're going to have some courage to forsake some things. Courage which arises from a sense of duty. It acts in a uniform manner. You know, it takes courage to walk the aisle and get saved. It takes some courage. You got to come out of your little shell and not be worried about what some people are going to say about you when you walk the aisle and get saved. You can't worry about what the person beside you is going to think when you walk the aisle. And if you are saved this morning and you're living in sin, it takes some courage to walk the aisle, because you know what? I guarantee you there's going to be somebody that says, well, I wonder what they've done that they need to get right with the Lord. Well, it ain't none of nobody's business but you're in God. You need to have some courage to get down on your knees and get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about what the world thinks. The world doesn't care about the Lord Jesus Christ if it's focusing on that anyway. What they need to be doing is have their head bowed and praying for you and asking God to help them get some things right in their heart. Courage to do the things that God would have us to do, to admit we're sinner, to step out and say that I'm on the Lord's side, that I want to do what God wants me to do in this life. Courage to admit that God is right and I'm wrong. You're wrong. God's right. God's always right. He is always right. He has never failed me. He has never forsaken me. He's never done anything that was wrong in my life. I'm the one that's made the mess up. Courage to admit it. The very freedoms we enjoy today were provided by men of courage. People that had courage to do some things. This generation that we live in, they haven't got any courage. Yeah, they got courage down there when there's a group of people with them. Step out there by yourself and say it. Take the Bible and say, thus saith the Lord. God said it. Courage to be bold. The guys that go out on Saturday, they've got some boldness about them. There's no doubt. Praise the Lord for them. For the Christian, it takes courage to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Courage to push through the greatest of adversities that we have in this life, knowing that Christ is the only one who understands what we're going through. Christ was the only one that understood what these folks were going through and what they needed to do to get to the other side, to get over that Jordan. They had to have strength. And do you not think that Joshua didn't have to have courage to do that? I know that they had seen, he was with the spies when they spied out the land and saw that the land was flowing with milk and honey. He knew what was there. He knew that there were giants in the land and all that. But he and Caleb were the ones that stood up and said, we can take this land. We can do this. This is what God wants us to do. God gives you that kind of courage. Courage to stand up and say, but it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what every father ought to say. Every man that leads his home, but it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Lord is the boss of this house. He also said, be not afraid. I think we serve the same God that told the children of Israel in 2 Chronicles, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Do you realize that the battle we're fighting today, we take it upon it like it's a personal battle. This ain't my personal battle. This is God's battle. This is His. This is Him. This all belongs to Him. The things that I have belong to Him. The things you have belongs to Him. This is all His. And we act like the battle is ours. It's God's. And God is going to win the battle if you believe the book. God said He's already won the battle. He won the battle when Jesus came, when He went to the cross, when He went to the grave, when He rose from the grave. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for each one of us. He's forgiven you of your sins this morning. What else do you want? The battle is over. Its victory is won. All we're doing is waiting for the King to come back.
Glory.
Yes. Fear the Lord. It says this is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, but God has not given us the spirit of fear that's of this world, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
Amen.
You know, for the unsaved this morning, there ought to be a fear in death.
Right.
If I weren't saved this morning and I were sitting in here, I'd have a fear to die.
Yes, sir.
I don't know where I'm going.
Right.
You say, well, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. I don't believe there's any foolish people in here this morning. I believe that you know that there's a God. And you know there's an eternal destiny that you're going to spend somewhere. You're going to spend it in heaven or hell. That's what God said. I didn't say it. None of these men up here said it. You're going to spend an eternity somewhere. You need to get that thing right this morning. God is, for the Christian, death shouldn't bring forth fear of knowing his or eternal destiny. The Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got victory over the grave this morning. We're born again. I'm born again in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And while this fleshly body is going to pass away, He's promised me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, He said that those that are dead will come up first, and those that are alive and remain will be called up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we meet the Lord and be with Him forever. He said, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
God has promised us all that, and we know that. For the one out of the will of God, there's a fear in the rebuke that will come from the hand of God. If you're not living for God this morning, you're living in fear. You know, it was just like when I wasn't obeying what my parents were telling me to do. You know, you were in constant fear of them finding out what you were doing was wrong. You were worried that you were going to get caught up in that lie that you were telling, doing things that you ain't supposed to be doing. Running around with the wrong crowd, talking to the wrong people, doing the wrong things, doing things that you know that are against God's will for your life. And you were in fear all the time. You know, that's how you live. But you know what? When you're living close to the Lord and you're where God wants you to be, you're not in fear. That fear has gone away. That's what He's talking about, being in that perfect love. You're in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in obedience to His Word and doing the things that He wants you to do. The battles that we face in this life are battles that are already won. I don't know why we fear some of the things that are there. It's okay to be plugged in and recognize that some things are tough. God didn't promise us no smooth ride through all of this. But He did say that we shouldn't be fearful of what the Lord has already promised that He will do. God has already promised us all these things. He's given us the promises of His Word, and we should take comfort in those. And look what He says at the last part of that. He said, "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Dismayed, disheartened, deprived of courage is what that means. Disheartened. David said in Psalm 42, 5 and 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance," he said in verse 5. And then he said the same thing in verse 11 with the ending, "Who is the help of my countenance and my God." Many are uneasy today. We're not at rest where we're at. We're disturbed by everything that comes our way. Not content in the current state of affairs that we're in. Don't deprive yourself of this morning of the blessings that God has for you. Don't be disheartened by all the things that are going on. You can expect them. God has said that these things shall come to pass. And there's going to be tough times. We're going to live in struggles in this life. But God has promised us something that's far better. And we shouldn't be disheartened or dismayed. If we're in the strength of the Lord and we've got courage that God is going to win the battles for us, then the fear shouldn't be there and the disheartening that we have in our lives shouldn't be there. But you know what? If you're not saved this morning, I can see why you're dismayed. I understand you're disheartened because you don't have the same promises that somebody that's accepted the Lord Jesus. And I don't boast of that. I say that I understand. I've been in your shoes. I know where you sit. I know that you are concerned and you're down because you don't know where your eternal destiny's at. But if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, I can tell you this, God will give you some peace with that this morning. If you're saved and dismayed, then you need to renew your strength in the Lord this morning. If you're dismayed this morning and you're a Christian and you can't have joy in the Lord, I don't understand people that can't come to church and can't be in Christian fellowship and just have joy in the Lord. Just enjoy the goodness of God. We come to this place like we're supposed to, the expectations that God is supposed to take the bucket and just pour it all over me. And you know what? That's not the way it's supposed to be. I tell you what, you're going to get more blessings if you take your bucket and pour it all over everybody and try to be a blessing to others. God wants us to do those things. God wants us to be a blessing to those around us. And smiling and trying to be a friend to somebody that needs the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, that's where you can lift your heart up. There's nothing more exciting than seeing somebody get their life right with Jesus Christ, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to be baptized in the baptismal water, to fellowship with them, to know that they're living for the Lord Jesus Christ, just to know that they're doing right in their life, just to know that God's blessing their family, their kids are growing up, they're standing behind the pulpit, they're singing songs that are glory to God. Thank God for all those things. Thank God for what He's doing. We come in and we're down, we're droopy, we've sucked on a lemon half the night. Get excited about what God's doing. Like I told my Sunday school class, you have made no preparations if you come in here like that. Right. I want to say, Miss Marcy, I see her come in every Sunday morning. She has a kind word. She comes in to Sunday school. I know she's here. She's ready to learn. She gives me a smile and talks about her grandkids. Those are the things that we ought to be doing as Christians this morning, bragging on God, giving God all the glory. Whatsoever we do, our hand findeth to do, we do it to the glory and the honor of God. God deserves it all. We don't deserve any of it. Gosh, I don't understand why we can't enjoy our fellowship one with another. Flip to the end of the book, chapter 23 and 24. Glory to God. He is good. His final charge in marching. That's what He told him in the beginning. This is what God told Joshua He's going to do. He brought him through it. The walls of Jericho, the battle at Ai, other battles, other lands that God gave them, other victories He gave them throughout the entire chapter. He gets here to 23 and 24. And He gives them some final charge and marching orders for what to do. Look at chapter 23, verse 3. And you have seen all that the Lord your God had done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. How many battles have you won in this life already that you know that God won the battle for you? Right there. He's telling them this is history. By the way, we learn from history. History is important, okay? Whether you like history or not, history is important. We learn from it. We learn to make good decisions, bad decisions, whatever the decisions are. We learn from history. And you can't undo it. So, you know, what I did yesterday, you can't undo it. It's marked down. It's written in a book. And God knows what I did yesterday and what I did for him and what I didn't do for him. So you can try to erase it all you want, but it's there. But at any rate, God hath fought the fight for you. Look at verse 6. Be ye therefore, what? Very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside thereto from the right hand or to the left. You know what? God has done it all, and God is telling you to do all that's written in the book. That's exactly what he's telling you, to do what's written in this book. We're to follow the precepts and the guidelines that God has put before us. Joshua is telling those people, he's telling the children of Israel and giving them final, you follow the things that are written in that book in the law. That's what they had at that time. And God is telling them, and I'm telling you this morning that God has told us to follow the things that are written in the book. And then he says in verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. We ought to cleave unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, you ought to be grasping for the Lord. Right now, if I was a Christian, you ought to want to be as close to God as you've ever been in your Christian life in the day that we live in. Right. I would want to be in church when I could be in church. I would want to be praying when I could be praying. I'd want to be reading this book when I could be reading it. I wouldn't be so focused on the things that are of the world this morning. I would be more focused on the things that are of God. Right. Cleave unto the Lord your God as you've done unto this day. Look at verse 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. It is he that fighteth for you as he hath promised. God has promised that he would fight for you. And God will fight for you and the things that are there. Then look in chapter 24, verse 14. We all know verse 15. But he says in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in what? Sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Serving the Lord in sincerity and truth. You know, I can tell most of the time when somebody is being sincere to me. When they sincerely mean what they say. I like people that are sincere. I like people that when they say something, I know that it's not just to be saying it. It's not just a repetition. It's not just something that they've got to do to make it. Politicians, the jobs that it would just make you want to vomit every time that somebody walked up to you and shook your hand and said, how's the family? Well, how are they doing? Whatever. Well, you could care less about my family. You stabbed me in the back just the other day and then tried to do this or do that. Don't act like you sincerely like me. You don't like me. Just tell me you don't like me. I'd just soon you tell me. Don't cut any things about it. God wants you to be sincere in your worship of Him. Sincere. Sincerity. And in truth. It says His Word is truth. If His Word is truth, then our worship of His Word ought to be in truth. In sincerity of what He has done for you. And he says, put away the gods. You know what they've done? You know what he's telling them? I'm tired of your lip service. James, what's it say? He said, it's time to get busy. It's time to start doing some things. You say you like, show me that you love me. Show me that you care. Show me that you believe what I say. You want to talk about it? You do a good job talking. I've never seen you do anything. He said, you still got your gods. You still holding on to it. Get rid of it. You better let go of that God. Because you know what he's saying? He tells them in that verse down in there that they're not going to serve him. He tells them, you will not serve him. And you know why they won't serve him? Because they held on to their gods. I don't have a wallet, but they got thou got that. That's as good as a wallet. They held on to it. You won't let go of it. You got to get rid of that thing. You got to get rid of the sins and the things that so easily beset you and keep you from walking the walk that you need to walk with the Lord God. If you don't get rid of those gods, you're never going to serve Him in sincerity and truth. I'm sorry to say that, but that's just the way it is, and that's what God is telling them. And Joshua told the children of Israel, he said, you won't serve Him because you won't let go of those gods. Amen. You're never going to get saved until you let go of the gods that are keeping you from getting saved. You're never going to walk the walk that you need to walk as a Christian this morning until you get rid of the gods that are controlling your life. You need to be strong, courageous, don't be afraid, and don't be dismayed. I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. God is the one that you need to be serving this morning as we stand to our feet.